Hello, everybody. Welcome to the new season of the Football Fill-In. I am joined here today with regulars on the show. We've got Mr. Mark Goldbridge. How are you, Mark?
Good. Good to be back. Very excited.
Looking incredibly non-tanned.
I've been in my bedroom, haven't I? 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think it's like you've been wearing that clothes all summer long or something. Just covering me up. We've also got Davey Watson, Super Dave Watson. You are looking incredible, by the way. You are looking double healthy. There's a lot of people getting the comments, like in some of the videos, saying, how do you know these guys, right? So I'm going to tell everybody why I know Dave Watson. Dave Watson was my goalie coach when I signed for Birmingham City. I worked with him for a year there. Then you were my goalie coach at England. Can I just tell a story about... By the way, what a goalie coach, by the way. He's an animal. He's a sicko. The angriest man I've ever met in my life. But my first meeting with Dave Watson, right? I was going to sign for Birmingham City, basically. And you met me in a hotel, didn't you? Like a week before I signed or whatever. And he was wearing... It was like fat Dave Watson era, yeah? He had like this horrible baggy blue, like, I don't know, Ralph Lauren shirt on.
There's no such thing. Is a fat Dave Watson.
It was fat Dave Watson, right? And he had this horrible blue shirt on. He was sweating under his armpits. He was a disgrace, he was. Anyway, we're skirting around stuff. We're going to talk about the Premier League this season. It's kind of like a preview show, all right? So it could be top four, it could be bottom three. You know, dark horse, flop of the season, golden boot, all that kind of stuff. We're going to get into it. First of all, boys, let's talk about Man United. Let's talk about their pre-season. How do you think it's gone for them?
Not very well, actually.
No?
But I don't... I mean, you guys will know more. I don't pay a massive amount of attention to pre-season. I big it up on the United stand so more people will watch. But in the back of my mind, I'm like...
Not bothered.
It means absolutely nothing. It's nice to see the players. It's great to, you know, go to places like America and Dublin and see the international fans. But, I mean, it almost... For United over the years, bad pre-season, good start to the season... Good pre-season last year, lost the first two. So I'm not massively bothered. The thing that bothers me is we haven't got a striker, which I think is ridiculous. I know we've got Hoyland, but he's not ready. And the team just looks a little bit imbalanced. But first game against Wolves, that can all just change.
Watto, you've been in football for a while now. What do you make of pre-season? Is it important? Is it just about getting fitness or do results matter?
Results don't matter, but I think it's a massive part of your preparation. And the one... red flag for me with a lot of the big teams and what they have to do now is the travelling.
The travelling.
And the clock's ticking and the manager's not getting as much time out on the grass as he wants. X amount of friendlies are organised. But the tap is already dripping in terms of the energy and the enthusiasm from the team. You're away so long. You're travelling hours just across America just for a friendly every 48 hours kind of thing. And I think that's really difficult. He plays so many different teams in the games. They're not getting all the gelling that you'd particularly want.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he's got a week today before the first game against Wolves, so he actually gets a few more days with the team this week to try and get some structure back into them. They've had the games. Results have been up and down, which you'd normally expect because they're travelling with them. But I think missing a striker for sure is going to be a tough start. I think... The Wolves game at home is probably a game that they wanted at the start of the season.
It
certainly is a nice one.
Yeah, I think I was watching that Community Shield game yesterday. And do you know what? I will give it its dues, at least. If you are Man City or Arsenal, at least it's a competitive game, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I'm not a big fan of the Community Shield or whatever it's, Charity Shield or whatever it used to be called. However, it's the most competitive game you can possibly get outside of friendly. Do you know what I mean?
It's still probably what? 70% max.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. They are. They're 70% max probably. But when the season starts next week, they will. I reckon those Man City and those Arsenal players go, well, you know, we feel like we know what we're doing now. We're good to go when the season starts next season. So I will give it its dues. I do think it is a worthwhile thing for the two big boys. All right, boys, we're going to start with the top four. Okay, in my head, Watto, I'm going to come to you first. But in my head, I think there are six teams vying for these top four places. However... And we spoke about this in the United stand, Mark. I think realistically, there's probably only two because I think Arsenal and Man City are guaranteed. I think they're going to be one and two, and then there's four teams vying for third and fourth. What are you saying about it?
Yeah, I would concur in terms of the top two. I think Arsenal look like he's made some astute signings, and they look like they're moving forward. I always feel as though with Man City, even though they've lost a couple of players, that they're going to be the team to beat.
Yeah,
anybody beats Man City. I would expect them to win it. That's the feel I get. If you look outside of that, Liverpool, you don't see having a season like they had last season, for sure, or you can't anticipate that. I think Chelsea under Pochettino, I think he's the one manager who can bring that team together. I've heard so much good stuff, all positive, about man management.
Give it to me. Because we played Chelsea in pre-season and I was so impressed, Dave, I would. So give me these little nuggets, what have you heard?
The players all speak so highly of him in terms of how he deals with them individually and collectively as a group, but he's also a really good coach and tactician on the training field. And he just brings a lot of love to the group. And outside of the group, he knows the women serving the food, guys in the laundry, he'll go down the academy, he pulls everything together. I've never heard of anybody at a club having the impact that he had at Southampton before my time there. And everybody, when he left, you know, like, really loved the guy and the staff, and they set the bar really high in terms of the work ethic that they produce, and they expect everybody to follow suit, but they do it in a way that everybody wants to be on the bus and pushing forward.
All part of it. Does this mean then that you'd tip them for a top four this season?
I think they could well do it under him. Yeah.
Ooh, what do you reckon about that?
No. But I think there's an interesting dynamic that it might, top four, I'm sad to say, might not be a thing anymore, because it might be top five, because Champions League coefficients thing means that if you're fifth, you can get into the Champions League now.
How does that work?
Well, it's the new Champions League, because they're changing it after this year, where it just isn't.
There's more teams.
It's like two leagues or something like. But apparently, there is a fifth spot up for grabs based on your history in Europe, which England's is quite good. Yeah. So there's a very big chance that fifth place will get you into the Champions League anyway, which is a shame, because I like the top four battle, and I think fifth place getting there is a bit. It will dilute the Premier League race a little bit. So there might be an opportunity for whoever comes fifth to come in it. But I think everything what I've said about Chelsea is spot on. My only thing is they were so damaged last year. Mm. Almost being fair to Pochettino. I saw what Ten Hag did in a year. And I think we did well to get third, but also Chelsea and Liverpool fell off. Yeah. So it allowed Man United and Newcastle in. If Chelsea and Liverpool and Villa and Brighton and Newcastle and Man United are all up there, it might be a little bit too. Chelsea fans have got to be patient with Pochettino.
The reality is, it is a real tough league. Mm. But I think no European fixtures for them. A little bit like, you know, Pochettino can kind of work his magic. He's got the time to work his magic. Yes, they need to get off to a good start for sure. But I think if you talk about Newcastle, who got in the top four, this is entering a whole new world for them. Mm. Champions League football this year. Yeah. It's what all them Geordie fans want. It's what the club's been built on from the Bobby Robson era. They loved it, and it's what they wanted to get back. But we don't know yet if that's going to have a detrimental effect on their Premier League season.
All right, boys, I'm going to ask for your actual top fours in a minute, yeah? Top fours. Don't worry about the five rubbish, right? Top fours. But first, Spurs, want to talk about them quickly. Good signing, James Maddison. We all happy with that, yeah?
He's a Spurs sort of signing, yeah.
Yeah? We're happy with it, though?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds...
No, it's a good signing. No, he's a good signing for them. I think he's a bit overrated. I've said that a few times.
Okay.
I don't think he's anywhere near a Bruno or a Kevin De Bruyne. I think, if he was playing 20 years ago, there'd be people like Rob Lee and Matt Letizia that would be streets ahead. But it's the modern obsession with British players. He's a good player, and I think he'd be a good player for Spurs, but... Spurs are going to finish outside the top eight, so that's where he's going to be playing.
You honestly think that, yeah?
A brutal assessment
there.
There'll
be Spurs fans going, they'll be high-fiving the screen.
I'd say that if Harry Kane gets sold, I would totally agree.
Yeah.
If Harry Kane goes, this is a massive problem for Tottenham, isn't it?
28 goals in a Spurs side last year, I still can't believe it.
Mate, he scored four in a friendly at the weekend.
It's
a massive problem, though, right?
Massive, yeah. I mean, you can't, if you're a Spurs fan, you can't even imagine that he's leaving, because the team... He's just built, it survives around what he is and what he's given them. And any hope of the trophy every year, the top four every year, it all resonates around Harry Kane. I mean, he's been pivotal to everything that you either argue is achieved or the club's not achieved over the last 10 years. To lose him would be...
You've got to let him go, don't you? I mean,
from a business sense, of course.
Well, he's going for nothing in a year. You've got 80 million there. I just think... Spurs, Daniel Levy, typically, the season starts in... Well, we're doing a preview. It starts in 3 days. And if he goes and they make another 5 million, If they make another 10 million, it won't be worth the points you're going to miss out
on not having. No, but that's where the equation has to come in. Yeah. I hope for the Premier League that he stays. I hope when he walked round yesterday after bagging four, it weren't the old "I'm off, guys, see you later." But if it is, then Tottenham are in big trouble this year.
This is Tottenham all over, basically. So it's like a hangover from the end of last season. The shambles that was when Conte got sacked and they didn't replace him properly. But they just petered out, didn't they? And they've carried it on to the start of
this season. You see the manager's press conferences already. He's feeling defeatist because he doesn't feel as though he's got the information to come and talk to people and be honest about the situation.
Don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and he's a new manager. It seems really unprofessional, to say the least, when you bring in a new manager, and he should be aware of all the facts and the figures, for sure. Tottenham is built around Harry Kane, and for a new manager and the start of a new season, it's going to be pretty depressing for Tottenham fans.
You can't put them in the top eight if Kane's gone.
Wow.
You can't.
Wow. And then quickly, Arsenal, Declan Rice, is that a good signing? 100 million quid. I saw after the Community Shield game yesterday, Roy Keane jumping in there and saying he's not sure whether he's got actual star quality or not.
I know a few people who know Declan Rice, and they've always said that in training he's got gears to go.
Yeah.
Like at West Ham, he's been told to do a job. He does a job. He protects that back four. And then in a more expansive team, he's actually quite technically a good player. He can score goals. And I think in Arsenal, they're going to play further forward. So I think there's going to be a lot of people waking up to how good Declan Rice is this year, because he won't just have to defend. He will be allowed to go forward. And I think he's a top player. I'd have loved him at United. I'm sure Pep wanted him. He's overpriced.
Yeah.
But that's the market.
He's English.
Look, Casido hasn't left Brighton to go to Chelsea because Brighton are going, well, Declan Rice has gone for 100 million. We want 90 for him. They're both probably 60, 70 million pound players. Yeah. But it's not the player's fault he's gone for 100 million. Arsenal have paid it. If he's a success over 5-6 years, it will be worth it. But yeah, of course he's overpriced at 100 million, but that's not his fault.
I think Arsenal are going to get top four this year, but I think they do need to sign a striker. Yeah. I think they need to sign a striker because Gabby Jesus will get injuries. He's already out for the start of the season with his knee injury anyway, and he will get injuries during the season because at Man City, that's the sort of player he was. He wasn't the main man. He wasn't relied on week in, week out. He was coming off the bench a lot of the time, and that is because he will pick up little niggles. It's as simple as that. So if they can sign a big boy up front, I think Arsenal nailed
on. Havertz.
Well, yeah.
Well, he missed a couple of chances yesterday, so they're already thinking, yeah, we need a striker. But if you do get a striker to come in, I agree, is Rice a stellar signing? I think he's a stellar signing.
I think he's lovely.
The shackles are coming off compared to where he's played at West Ham, and I think he could really make that midfield tick there. And I think all of a sudden you might see what we'd not, or what we all want as an England fan, that we could have a free scoring midfield player.
Imagine that.
And you know, if he starts knocking in 10 goals plus because of his role at Arsenal, it pushes them certainly closer to Man City. But
he's a leader character. There's not many of those.
Yeah, I like it, yeah. Well, I think it's a good sign. It's a solid sign.
It's a solid sign.
Even though it's 100 mil, I think you pay the money. You've got a guaranteed start a week in, week out. He'll score your goals. He'll lead everybody. I love it. I really do. Right, I am going to get your top fours in 1 second. Quickly, Watto, just talk to me about this possible David Raya signing for Arsenal. What do you make of all this, by the way? Why would Arsenal need to go and spend 30 million quid on another goalie when you've got an Aaron Ramsdale who's good to go?
I think I've got a couple of contexts of it. When I were a goalie coach, not challenging to win the league, but certainly always wanting to stay in the league. I think we've spoke about it in the past. I wanted two goalies who were number one goalies because the drop-off if you had an injury was too big and you're going to put the team in real pressure. I think when you're talking about a team at the very, very top, of course it would be ideal to say I want two number ones, but there has to be a promise to Araya coming in of some game time.
Yeah, there has to be.
He's not going to join. Not that he probably doesn't think he's better than Ramsdale. Not that he's not up for the fight. But these guys want to play football. And to have two number ones at the very, very top, I think that's very, very difficult. Unless there's some promises in that contract that he's going to get X amount of games. But then what you'll see might not play in goal either, normally play in goal, because they know this is their one chance to shine. You lose the continuity with the back four and the defenders. And all of a sudden, everything that looked pretty rosy, it can put things in the mix. So, yes, he's a top goalie, and I think he could play at a top team in the Premier League. But the mix of him and Ramsdale, who I also believe is a top goalie, and really established himself last year, Whether he saves a penalty to win the thing yesterday, that's a sideshow. He's a top goalie. Ray is a top goalie. I'm not sure the mix of them together and making Arsenal better is the right decision.
I think I know Arteta better than Arsenal fans. I predicted he'd be a good manager when they had their Arteta T-shirt out on. I think David Ray is going to be the number one. I think I can see it as clear as day. This is what Man United did with De Gea. It's hard to understand because Ramsdale's a good keeper. He'd be my England number one. But I think Arteta has looked at it and gone, look at what Ten Hag's just done. He's just got rid of the Golden Glove winner for a ball-playing goalkeeper. Pep did it. Klopp did it. I want a ball-playing goalkeeper. And when you look at the stats, and Arsenal fans don't like this, when you look at the stats last season, David Reyes in the top for long passing accuracy, passes per game. He's got a better save ratio than Ramsdale. Ramsdale's not even in the top five. I'm not saying Ramsdale's bad at distribution, but I think there's a type of goalkeeper out there. And David Reyes, I mean, he's like a number 10. He's so good on the ball. And I think that's what it is. I think Arteta doesn't quite fancy Ramsdale with the ball at his feet. And I think he's bringing somebody in to basically give Ramsdale, but this is your chance. And if it doesn't work out, this is where I'm going.
I've really enjoyed both of your opinions then. I do. I really enjoy all of this because I was so staunch that Watto knows exactly what he's talking about there. But I actually see what you're saying. I do.
You put me onto this because I was listening to the radio this morning. David Seaman was on and he said, we bought Richard Wright for $6 million, which was a lot of money at the time. And I liked it. But then I spoke to Schmeichel on my podcast and he was like, no, I'm number one. And you said that to me last year. Some goalkeepers just want to be the number one and know the number one, and it can play on their mind if there's someone fighting for their place.
Yeah, I think it's a problem signing Raya because for me, Aaron Ramsdale is perfect for them. I think he is absolutely perfect. I agree with what you're saying about the playing out for the back, but I still think Rambo is incredible at it.
He can do it.
He is incredible at it.
It surprised me.
It's to what level you want. So if you're willing to sacrifice a bit of extra being a better goalkeeper for that extra tiny, 5%? Would you say Raya's 10% maybe better with the ball at his feet? But you're sacrificing that goalkeeping part of it. And I know Aaron Ramsdale makes world-class saves that keep Arsenal in games
at times.
He's
a personality keeper.
He's a massive personality. And I just think there's no need to rock the boat with this one.
It's an odd one if he's sticking with Ramsdale, I think. The logical thing for me is he's going to go with Raya, which is a huge call. Like Watto says, he's going to go with two goalkeepers and share the load. But that's
not
going to
work. That's not a thing.
I actually don't think that works. We're not in the day-to-day running of the building and watching the training. We obviously see the games like...
Apparently and we the coach at Arsenal used to be the coach at Brentford, goalkeeper.
Yes, he did. Yeah. But we divulge all that and... Arteta and the goalie coach, through the day in, day out, and the drills and the gameplay and the practice that they do, and maybe what they're asking him to do in these practices, that can be the only line of thinking that they believe that Raya could come in and be something slightly different with the ball. But Ramsdale had massive moments for them last year.
Massive moments.
Massive moments.
Massive.
And as Raya had the experience of playing at the big club, that Ramsdale's now come through. Mm-hmm. And it is maybe 5 or 10% different with the ball at the feet because Ramsdale did really well last year.
Yeah.
They got him to do more and you keep working at it, he can get better. Whether you're actually buying the finished article with a Raya, I'm not too sure, but it's certainly going to rock the boat. And I think Ramsdale's character and personality and the way that he comes across and how he's gelled the team together and the relationships he's got in the team, also changing that,
can be a problem
in the dressing room.
Massively,
maybe
not for Arsenal fans, but for us, it's massively intriguing.
It's
a ruthless big call from Arteta. It's massively brave because you don't need to do it. And he's done it.
It's a bit Guardiola with Joe Hart time.
Yeah, a bit brutal it seems, doesn't it? But I feel, even David Raya, I feel for David Raya. David Raya should be playing first team football in the Premier League. He is a proper goalkeeper.
Last season, if you look at it, and Brentford, it wasn't a surprise, had a good season, he was one of the best goalkeepers in the league.
For sure, he always is.
Saving as well.
I thought he were going to be a Tottenham goalie this year.
He could have gone Tottenham. Chelsea.
Sanchez. I'm like, why have Chelsea not gone for David
Raya? But that's the connections again. Ben Roberts is now heading the whole goalkeeping department up in Chelsea's football philosophy.
He used to be at Brighton. Because
Pochettino brings his own man, so he's got that role. He's worked with Sanchez for a period of time and he's thought he's going to come in.
Is Sanchez going to start for Chelsea?
No.
You not think so? Kepa?
I think so, yeah.
Oof. This is what I mean. It's hard being a goalie
nowadays. Well, you've got the Spanish goalie coach and a Spanish goalie. I think their relationship will be tighter. Mm. with Kepa, even though Sanchez is coming in from
afar. Sanchez is Spanish.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but he's coming in from afar.
Oh, coming off a bad season as well.
Yeah, it's...
So is Kepa.
Oh, gosh.
I think in terms of goalies, a lot of the clubs, we've not touched on De Gea and Onana yet. There's a lot of change.
They bought someone.
They've bought someone for like 30 million or something like that.
Because Lloris is done. That Verbraggen at Brighton, keep an eye on him.
He looks like a good goalkeeper.
Yeah. United were looking at him, and yeah, knowing Brighton, he'll probably be the best goalkeeper in the world in like two years.
Yeah, two years.
Getting bought for 100 mil or something.
But you've got some big decisions there.
All right, give me a top four then. I want to know your top four, start to finish, first, second, third, fourth.
I know mine. It's City.
City first.
Arsenal second. United third. Liverpool fourth.
Okay.
I'm going to go City, Arsenal, United, Chelsea.
I'm going to mix that. I'm going to go City, Arsenal, Chelsea, United. City, Arsenal, Chelsea, United.
Liverpool have surprised me with your two. I mean, I put them fourth, but I do agree that games are won and lost in the midfield. I'm still not sure about that midfield. I like McAllister. Yeah. Szoboszlai is interesting, but Henderson's gone. Fabinho's going to go. They haven't brought that Lavia in yet.
They might be losing a couple of leaders within it there as well. Yeah. And they've got Thursday, Sundays to contend with.
You think? I think, honestly, losing James Milner and Jordan Henderson is a problem. Honestly, them two are the guys that
been running that
building.
Dress room for 10 years.
Yeah, they run the building. I promise you, they
Transitional
do.
Transitional season.
They run everything.
They could fight Arsenal for the title, Liverpool.
Yeah.
They could also be sixth.
They could.
And that's the brilliant of this season, because we've spoke about Chelsea, United are the same, Newcastle are the same, Villa the same, Brighton the same. I think apart from Arsenal and Man City, who I'd nail into the top four, Liverpool could be fighting with Man City, they could be fighting with bloody Villa, I don't know.
It's going to be an interesting one anyway.
That's why we love it.
Get in the comments down below. It's just getting harder and harder. Every season, isn't it true? Every season you come around to the next one and you go, oh God, it's going to be a tough one this year. It's getting bigger and better and harder.
Spurs, would you put them in the top eight when you've got Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea, Newcastle, Aston Villa, Brighton? That's eight teams. Are Spurs finishing above any of them?
I don't know.
They're not in Europe, so maybe, but it's tough.
With Harry Kane, yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Kane, yeah. But without...
Whoa!
Top ten!
All right, come on, let's move on. We're going to go bottom three, OK? So, all the talk about the lovely teams at the top of the league, bottom three. Now, every season, the three teams that come up are always automatically the favourites to get relegated, OK?
Yeah.
They all stayed up last year, didn't they? They all stayed up last year. So, this year, though, what are we saying? Obviously, Burnley coming up, Sheffield United coming up, Luton coming up. But I'm going to throw a couple of names in there. I think somebody else that might be in a bit of trouble this year. Forest, I'm going to go for, might be in a bit of trouble. Everton struggled at the end of last season, just managed to get over the line. And West Ham. And I'll only put West Ham in there because I think there's been so many rumblings about not signing players and then not being money to sign players and not trusting David Moyes and where they're going to go from there. I just think it gets you off to such a bad start. So
Thursday night football
as well. I just think it's a tough ask for them. So what are we saying on this? Are we going to go with the easy option of the three teams going to go straight back down or what?
No, I don't believe the three teams will go back down. I think for a Luton and a Sheffield United, it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
Burnley from afar look like they're in a really good place to go and attack the league. I think Kompany, obviously, fabulous job last year, and I think he'll try and take it on to another level again this year.
A goalkeeper again.
Yeah, they've made a big signing, and it will be a big challenge for him, obviously, stepping up instead of playing in League One for Bolton last year. We touched on that a little bit last year when we talked about a Southampton going with a Bazuna. So that could be a problem for them or him. But I think what Kompany's done and what he's built around it is going to be a better model. And I expect them to do OK. I always fear there's always the second season syndrome for a team.
Yeah.
And I think that could be Nottingham Forest this year.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to be able to sustain enough maybe this year. I think other teams will know what to expect a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a red flag for me. I don't think West Ham, we should be talking about it, but the facts that you put out there are the facts.
Yeah.
No signing, real empathy around it, losing your captain, even though it's 100 million and it's good business. Moyes, there always seems to be rumblings around him for sure. And the ownership, they're not quite sure whether we're putting money in, we're not putting money in. You go to a lovely stadium, but if them fans are not supporting that team, it's a better place for an away team to go. but I don't think we should be talking about it in that context. We spoke last year when they were going through a tough time. Moyes has got to be the man to keep them up. It's whether you want to start with that mentality that what we're aiming for this year is to stay in the league.
It's mad, isn't it? Just winning the conference, the Europa Conference League last year. Yeah. They've won a major trophy, major-ish trophy.
They got beaten.
You're
that,
talking about on getting relegated.
They got beaten in the pre-season match at the weekend 4-0, and they're saying he shouldn't even start managing the first game. So I think there's a lot of apathy around the team, which is not going to help them for the start of the season. And then you talk about Everton. Dyche is certainly the man to make sure the team that'll not go down. But I don't think it's going to be an exciting season, you know?
You'd like to think for Everton, having Dyche behind the scenes and working away for, nearly 6 months now, that's probably enough to get that team working now, isn't it?
I think with Everton, their problem will be longer term. Everton aren't going to be happy just, you know, surviving.
No,
they will survive under Dyche. Sheffield United pissed me off, to be honest. I can't stand teams that get promoted and then sell players and then don't replace them.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like you are going down. Luton, great story, but you'd have to send them down. I think Burnley survived quite comfortably. I don't think they can do what what Fulham did last year, which was amazing for a promoted team. But I think Burnley will stay up because they play football the right way. I'm putting Crystal Palace in there. That's my
A little dark horse
I'm going to throw Crystal Palace in there. I think Roy's done a good job. But again, Zaha's gone. Elise's going to go. And I think that they have got some great players. I mean, Eze's fantastic. But I just think that there's always a team that gets pulled in that you don't expect.
Yeah.
And I think based on the transfer window they've had, I'd put Palace in there. Or Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth one, yeah.
Well, that's the second season syndrome. Yeah. I think you get to that point with them. Me personally, I think Roy stayed in the job at Palace because he really felt, speaking with him, that group of players were a real good group of players. Mm. Yes, there's a couple of things could happen and obviously they've lost Zaha, but he thought that were a real good group of players, that they could do something this year. So I don't think he would have stayed on if he thought it were going to be a relegation battle.
Can I give you a hot take, lads? I've got a hot take for you. I think Luton are going to surprise a lot of people this year. I think Luton are going to make it horrible for everybody.
They've got a distinctive style of football.
Kenilworth Road, right? I'm not. It is the.
Yeah, but are they going to play a home game at Kenilworth Road?
It's the worst place in the world to play football, I promise you. Mate. We played them a couple of years ago in the Championship with Watford, and their pitch is abysmal, right? And I don't want them to make it all nice and clean and like a carpet. I don't want them. I want them to make it exactly what the stadium should be, all right? Bumpy, dry, long grass, like horrible. I really want to see that. So when teams come over and they're playing at Kenilworth Road, they just think, oh no.
Well, that's how they're going to stay up if they're going to.
The fans there as well get right behind them, right? It is a horrible place to go. And I honestly think if Luton can make their home form good, I think they'll surprise a lot of teams. They work really hard, you know, as a team. They work so, so hard. They get up against you. So I'm going to put it out there. I think Luton are going to stay up this season.
A very bold statement.
It's a bold statement.
But I'm
going to
disagree.
It's a bold statement. So, all right, then, come on, then, give me your bottom three for this season, the three teams that are going to go down.
I'm going to go Luton, Sheffield United, and Palace, and I think that Palace one is probably going to come back and bite me, but I just think somebody shocking will get pulled down there.
Okay, like it?
I'm going to go Luton, Sheffield United, and Forest.
I agree with the Forest shout. I think
their home form kept them up last year. They've got to replicate that.
I think, all right, I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to go Forest, Sheffield United.
You can't relegate Luton now.
And Burnley.
No, you got that wrong.
And it's Burnley, all right? This is the beauty of football, you know. You're allowed an opinion, you know. Everybody's allowed an opinion.
And I love your opinion, mate.
Thank you.
Love it.
I value your opinion just as much as mine. It's wrong, but I value it. Honestly, I really, really do. Again, get in the comments down below. Let us know which one of us is talking absolute smoke here. I think I've got it, Bob, on. Right, let's switch it up a little bit now. I want to talk about the Golden Boot winner for next season. I think this should be a fairly straightforward conversation. I think we're all probably thinking the same thing, but we have to mention them, all right? So I think the candidates for Golden Boot this season are going to have to be Marcus Rashford, probably, Hoyland at Man United, Harry Kane if he stays, Gabby Jesus, obviously Haaland. I think he's probably the favourite.
I think the actual thing is, take Haaland out of it, who wins the Golden
And then who comes second after that? And then Mo Salah at Liverpool as well. Is it as simple and straightforward as it's just going to be Haaland?
Unless he gets a really bad injury. He could miss three sitters and still score two a game, couldn't he? It's the service as well. I think any striker that's decent is going to win the Golden Boot at Man City, but he is probably the best striker in the world.
So you think, right, here's a question for you then. Do you think Man City are going to be as dominant next season as what they were last year, having lost a couple big boys, you know? Having lost this Gundogan, and do you know what I mean? I think it's a bit of a problem.
But I said this last year. I said they're going through a transition because they lost Jesus, Sterling and Zinchenko.
Mahrez. But they're good players, though, mate. These
Gundogan
players.
Was their best player at the end of last season.
Mahrez as well. When you've got a Mahrez sitting on the bench and you've... You know what I mean? When you've got Mahrez sitting there, right, and you bring him on with 20 minutes to go,
brilliant.
If you're that team and you see him coming on, you say, oh, for God's sake, give me a rest.
I'm good that he's gone to Saudi Arabia because
he's a proper talent and a creator and finisher of goals, you know. But Guardiola, you have to trust him. He's seen something in the group and obviously the signings they're making that, yes, he might behind the scenes be a little bit peeved that he's had to lose him to Saudi Arabia and Gundogan is gone and you have to accept that he was a star man towards the end of the year. But there's no panic. I think he's comfortable with it. I can't see how Haaland cannot win it, to be honest. I think it would be a better bet to say who's finishes second really probably deserves a bigger shout because any of the guys that we talk about...
Who is going to finish second then?
I think there'll be a lot of goals for people this year because I think there's some teams that are going to get whipped. Sheffield United and stuff like that. I think there's going to be a lot of goals. So, I mean, Salah.
What though?
Yeah, I think Kane's going to leave, so I'd have to go Salah. Yeah.
Okay, I think we all agreed then that Haaland's going to win it. The only question is whether he'll beat this 36-goal tally from last season. That's a big ask, isn't it?
It is. If he stays fit all season, I think he'll break it because I think there's more goals in this season than there was last year.
I think he'll...
36 goals?
I think he'll get 30.
So we all agree Haaland. I think I'm going to go for Mo Salah. I'll go for Mo Salah second as well. Right, we're going to go for dark horse of the season then, OK, yeah? So we've got... I've got four teams in front of me, right? And they're all dark horses for different reasons.
We've got to pick one of them.
We've got to pick one of them who we think is going to be... I know my dark horse out of these four teams. So we've got Chelsea, new manager. Villa, will they carry on from last season? Palace, could be a dark horse either way in this one, to be honest with you. Either go, like, doing well or struggling. And then we've got Burnley, newly promoted. A lot of hype around it. Vinny Company, they've got this lovely style of football, apparently. But I've just tipped them to go down. So out of these four that I've just mentioned, who are you going to go for the dark horse?
I don't really fancy... I'd go Villa. But I feel like it's just such an obvious choice to go Villa. I don't think Palace. I think Burnley. I mean, Burnley mid-table, that would make them a
dark
horse,
if Burnley finished mid-table this season, that is a hell of a season.
I think if Burnley mid-table, I'd put Burnley mid-table, so I'll go Burnley.
Yeah, yeah, what?
Well, my dark horse, I would have to go Chelsea because I've said that they're going to get in the top four. I just feel as though Pochettino is going to bring that group together. I think he's going to bring the whole football club together. And I think that harmony and the relationships he'll build, coupled with the tactics and the good coaching and all the things that he'll bring to it, I think that team could really flourish this year. And obviously, I've picked them for the top four, so I have to say that would be my dark horse.
I like it. I think one team we haven't mentioned in all this, even throughout the whole show, actually, is Brighton.
Well, if Brighton had been there, I would have put them.
I think they'll do well this season. I do. I expect Brighton to do well. I've seen some clips from them in pre-season. How they play out from the back is frightening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Made some really good signings.
Frightening. And everybody they sign seems to be a good-to-go player. There's something in it. They're doing something right anyway. And I'd say that they're going to do really well this season. But I'm going to go for Villa as well. I think Chelsea are going to do fantastic, but I think Villa, having watched them in pre-season, I went and watched one of the games. I think it was against Brentford, actually. 3-3 it finished. But Villa were on fire. They were popping it. They looked strong. They looked physical. They looked like they'd get about the pitch. They looked like they knew what they were doing. The manager seems like he's a perfect fit for them. 50 million quid they've just spent on this Diaby guy. They look like they're going to
be threatening. I think tactically, he's a genius.
He's probably one of the best in the league.
Him play, for sure. It's just the Europa League that makes me worry a little bit in the league for them. But I think they're certainly a developing team, Villa, for sure.
If Watkins gets injured, I think they struggle to score.
They're going to struggle a bit, yeah. What I'd say is, you know Burnley, you said about their top half finish, mid-table finish, right? If we're saying that there are probably 8 or 9 teams that could possibly get in that top 4 or 5, that leaves 11 scrappers, basically, yeah? And if you're saying there's 4 or 5 that might get relegated... This is a
You've not mentioned Fulham or Brentford yet. Yeah. They were absolute flying last year.
Fantastic season last year.
To what we've spoken about, top managers, eh?
I just think even for the rest of the teams that we haven't mentioned, I think finishing 17th, there's no shame in it this year.
There's no shame in it this year. For that group that we talk that we've not really mentioned, anything above that third bottom is a win.
Okay, cool. We've got the quiz coming in a minute. We just have to do flop of the season. Okay. So I've got four nominations for you. All right. And one of them is just pathetic. Actually, two of them are pathetic. Spurs, I'm going to go for first. Flop of the season, Spurs. If they lose Harry Kane, where will Spurs finish this season?
Mid-table.
What? I need a number.
Ninth.
Tenth.
Tenth. I'd agree with that. I'd go with that. Mid-table, I think I'm all over that. West Ham. Nobody really knows what's going on with West Ham. Like I said, lost their last pre-season friendly of the season, 4-0. Where are they going to finish this season?
I'd put West Ham somewhere between sort of 14th and 17th.
Not relegated, though.
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh, 12th.
12th, OK. I'm going to go 14th. I like it. Brentford, no David Raya, even though he's still there at the minute. No Ivan Toney until about Christmas time.
That's massive. I mean, the goals, what was it, 18 Premier League goals or something last year? It's incredible for a team like Brentford. Yeah, I think Brentford will drop to somewhere like, again, around West Ham, 14th to 17th.
No threat of relegation, though, no?
Don't think so.
No.
Too good. They're too good, aren't they? They are. They've got a good manager. They know what they're doing.
Playing at Brentford. It's a bit like what you spoke about.
So tough, isn't it?
It's tough. I think they know what they're doing at that stadium. I don't think they'll reproduce the season that they've just had with the players that they're losing, but I would say 14th comfortable.
And then another one that's in the list, but I don't really know why. Brighton, can they replicate last season, basically?
Well, they've set the bar so high, Brighton, haven't they, that you can see why a mid-table for them would be a flop where they were last year. It's a bit like Leicester, who used to be around fifth and then they got relegated, isn't it? So it's always possible in a competitive league. But I think that the way they play, the way they've bought, Thursday night football might be a problem for them, but I'd still say you'd put them in the top eight, so no. I'd go Spurs flop of the season for me.
OK.
I would say Brighton will be comfortably top 10 for sure, even with a Thursday night. I think he's a great manager and you can see tactically how they want to play, and I think they'll just keep doing what they're doing. They've signed the players to fill in the voids. I only see Spurs having a flop of the season.
Oh, God, it's unanimous, isn't it? It's unanimous.
Well, they've got to look at what we were talking about last year. I mean, I feel for Spurs fans because ultimately it just comes down to ownership. They've got the stadium, they've got the training facilities, they've got the location, and they just don't
but
have the drive.
But there's still something wrong.
Beyonce FC.
There's still something wrong.
All they're bothered about is NFL games and Beyonce. I mean, this Kane thing, all right, it's sad, but it's 80 million quid that you could have had a month ago and actually brought two players in for the start of the season.
And like, give the manager a chance to do something in pre-season and gel a team together. If they lose him this week and they're going to Brentford on Sunday, I mean, seriously, could you imagine that?
I'm getting Brentford down on the coupon then, if that happens. Right, guys, I've missed this. I've loved this. Honestly, I've loved it and I've missed it. It's really nice to have you back. You know what time it is?
Quiz.
It's quiz!
World famous football filling quiz. Come on, boys. Okay, quiz time. Jamie has got 10 questions for us. Can you show off our new, plaque? Look at them.
Brand new. Football filling cards.
How pro are we or what? It's incredible. Right, come on then, Jamie.
It's fast. Get a new presenter, though.
No, Jamie's the man. We'd never replace you, Jamie, all right? It's fastest finger first. As soon as you know the answer, say it. Good luck, boys. First one of the season. Let's go.
Right. Question number one. Which club did defender Virgil van Dijk play for before signing for Liverpool?
Southampton.
Correct.
I thought you'd have got that, why?
Oh, mate. I was thinking he was going further back.
Yeah, me too.
I had Celtic in my head.
I was thinking Groningen.
Question two. Who is the youngest player to have ever won the Premier League?
Bertrand.
No.
Rooney?
No.
Oh, I know.
No, you don't.
I do now.
Got all the time.
No, we have a timer on
here. Oh, yeah.
There's no timer. There's no timer. That was never in the rules. The youngest player to ever win the Premier League.
Yeah, that was a question.
Five, four.
Phil Foden.
Correct.
Oh!
I was going to say Fabregas.
That's massive, Fozzy.
So Phil Foden now has five, and he's also the youngest player to get five as well. So...
Good knowledge,
that,
Jane.
Obvious.
Probably 4-3-2 as well.
Oh, no, it may not be obvious because he could have won four later in his career, but he's not old.
Question number three. Which manager has had the most promotions to the Premier League?
Warner.
No.
Bruce.
Oh, come on, Fuzzy, be quicker.
Steve Bruce had four, two of Birmingham City and two of Hull City.
They knock him.
Bruce is the man.
They knock him.
2-1-0.
Usual for me, Jake.
Question number four. Which recently relegated Premier League club failed to win the championship this weekend?
Leeds.
Correct.
I was just about to say that.
It was 2-2. 2-2, and Somerville scored in the 96th minute to make it 2-2.
Southampton came from behind, and Leicester won yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, they won late on as well, didn't they?
Yeah. So what? It's 2-1-1.
We 2-1-1-1. We 2-1-1.
Cut that out.
Question number 5. When Ian Wright broke the Arsenal scoring record at the time, he was wearing a shirt underneath that said what on it?
Nike, just do it.
No.
Nike something.
I have not got a clue.
I can see him pulling it up, but
it was a vest,
I thought it were Nike. Red, right, just do it. Right,
no.
Do it.
No. 5.
Right on time.
No.
150 right or something. Stuff.
It says, just done it.
Oh, my God.
Good. Yes, good.
So no points on that question.
Yeah.
Question number 6. Who is the only player to win silverware at Manchester United and Liverpool?
Michael Owen.
Michael Owen is the correct answer.
Do you want to do any more Man U questions, by the way?
Yeah, that's the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Can he see them answers, Jay?
You're like, don't worry.
Don't worry.
You played the game. He was probably there with you, wasn't he, Michael Owen?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
3-2-1.
Question 7. As of today, which Premier League team has spent the most money in this summer's transfer window so far?
Arsenal.
Correct.
Chelsea. Oh, my God.
Arsenal is the correct answer.
What? Where do you get 2 from anyway? You're on 1.
No, I've got 2.
Oh, I thought I was about 3 ahead.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, you are. Yeah.
You have got one. I think you have got one. Yeah.
Big trouble here, mate. Big trouble here, mate.
So Arsenal spent just under £200 million on 10 players this
season. Who? 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, but 100 on 1.
Yeah, it was
obviously. Who else did they signed? Oh, Havertz. Yeah, Havertz, yeah. Havertz was lumpy, weren't he?
Question 8. When a team wins the Premier League, what changes on their
kit goal badge
the following season?
Yeah.
Correct. The Premier League badge turns gold.
Oh, I got that.
4-2-1.
Still do it. 2-1. You've got 2 more questions left.
Oh, wait, this always happens. Every bloody... I need to change this.
No, I'll get one.
Get it over.
Career path question.
Oh. He always wins these.
I have played 4. Genk. Lommel United on loan. Westerloo on loan. Lommel United on loan. Ohel Leuven on loan. Brighton. Then Arsenal.
Trossard.
Ah, this is pathetic. What are you getting involved for? You can't even win.
Oh, shut up. I want to beat you.
No, I know.
Yeah.
4-2-2.
4-2-2. Final question. Which 2 teams played in the Battle of the Bramall Lane?
Sheffield United and Wednesday. Wednesday.
No.
No.
What?
Sheffield United and Arsenal.
Oh, his Leeds?
No. It's Sheffield United and West Brom.
I've never heard of this.
Have you ever heard of Battle of the Bramall Lane? So basically, in the Battle of Bramall Lane, like, it got called off because they had too many red cards in the game.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think they had like 6 players left, and they had to call off the game.
Misunderstood the question there.
You might have been playing in goal for West Brom.
Is that it, Jay?
Yeah, that is everything. Mark Goldridge is the winner.
4-2-2.
Didn't bottle the lead.
Well played. Well played.
Well done, mate.
Do you want to say Seb's dad played in that game as well? Battle of Bramall Lane.
Yeah. Did he?
Russ, his stepdad,
the front. Oh, gosh, never mind. Right, well done, lads. I'm happy for you. OK, that was it. That was the first football fill-in quiz, the first football fill-in of the new Premier League season. Thanks for joining me, lads. Really enjoyed it, as usual. We will see you next week, as we will every single week, because that's just what we do. Simple.